If you like new stuff before anybody else. If you like to keep your finger on the pulse. If you like the future and want to be in it. Keep on listening because we'll start in a minute. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Let's go!
Welcome to a special Tech Webcast podcast with Nick from Foxtel, Head of Managed Products. It's the 9th of April as we run this podcast, and here we've got Brad and myself, Andrew, as the usual suspect hosts, and we'll be talking with Nick about the iQ3 product. How are you doing today, Brad?
Hello, Andrew. How are you, mate?
I'm doing very well, mate. Very well.
Good to have Nick here from Foxtel.
Hi, and, how are you going?
Good, Nick. How are you? Welcome, mate. Good to have you on.
Cheers.
We're here to chat about the iQ3 and all the other great stuff that's involved, that sort of thing. So, Nick, do you want to give a quick rundown on what you do at Foxtel before we start?
Sure. So I'm head of managed products. That means I'm responsible for the product management of all the devices that we put in customer homes and we manage ourselves. So specifically, that is all the set-top boxes as well as the Foxtel hub for our broadband service.
Sounds good, wow. Mate. Sounds good.
So a lot of customers, a lot of homes, and probably a lot of sleep that you probably miss out on trying to run that thing.
Yeah, certainly has had its moments, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it does, ups and downs, particularly with constant evolution of different products coming in and out. Can I ask, Nick, how long has the iQ3 sort of been in development for? Like, it's been a product talked about for quite some time. It seems like it's been coming forever.
Sure. It's always a difficult answer to give as to when it first started being in development. From a concept and the ideas around what we needed to do from a usability and a different user interface, really that's been building for, I would say, probably 5 years. But from the actual, if you actually get down to the software development, vendor choices, all of the integration, it's probably closer to more of a 12 to 18 month sort of project.
Okay. I guess with products like that, the in-development time really is from the day that you release the previous product, because there's always things that you're thinking of, new ideas, customer feedback, that sort of goes into a, you know, pencil and paper for what's coming next.
Yeah, spot on. I think the iQHD we launched, I think, approximately 8 years ago. And I think one thing people don't realise is with the iQHD, there have been very minor hardware revisions over the years that have improved it. Things around increasing the size of the hard disk drive, moving towards HDMI output, things like that. There have also been software revisions that have improved the features and functionality on it over the years too. The most recent one last year being the introduction of the look-back feature, which enables you to go back up to 24 hours in the past and download content via the internet. So there has been evolution like that. But you're spot on. You do start, learning what you can do differently as soon as you launch the last product.
Interesting. I guess it's a really, it doesn't take, Einstein to work out that the market at the moment is just really crazy. There's so much happening. And with, Foxtel's new aggressive pricing, do you think the iQ3 will, is it there to try and win over new subscribers, or is it more about trying to stabilize the existing market that you've got, particularly with, new competitors in streaming and so forth?
I think there's a couple of ways to look at it. The pricing change itself, while existing customers, and we had a very good existing customer base, we did really see an opportunity at being able to restructure our current pricing to attract a different part of the marketplace. And I think that's really been quite positive since we've launched that. So at the same time, of course, we wanted to focus on making sure our existing customers weren't left behind. And so they got a whole lot of additional content for their existing price as well. So it was really a an approach that was designed as a win-win, both to attract new customers and to increase the, I guess, the happiness existing customers had with their Foxtel service.
Okay, that's good. I mean, with the new box, is there, I guess, a greater capacity to watch more streams or to record more things? You know, we've got people have this appetite for more content constantly. Is that difficult to sort of keep up with?
It is and it isn't, I guess. We certainly the new box has much greater capacity. At the moment, the IQ 2 can support recording two channels and watching a third. The IQ 3 can record three and watch a fourth channel. But in fact, as well as the linear recording being record three, watch a fourth, we've actually designed it with eight separate tuners in the box. The reason those are all there is actually help future-proof it against exactly what you're saying, increasing capacity in the future. We're not using all eight right now. We're using six. The other ones, as you probably added up, what I said doesn't add up to six.
Yeah, about 10, I think.
Yeah, that's right. The other two tuners, other than the record three, watch a fourth, there's one dedicated for a lot of the constant data updates and okay. another one for picture-in-picture.
Nice one.
So fundamentally, part of the new user experience is to be able to support picture-in-picture functionality as well.
Okay, what sort of so the IQ 3 has been out for a while now. What sort of what people have been using the box like just Foxtel people that people work with Foxtel or customers or who were testing the box before it came out?
I guess before it came out, obviously we have our own internal test team. We did a fair bit of usability testing with independent test houses, but we've also been running a field trial with several hundred people for about for quite a while, and okay. then more recently all Foxtel staff have had an IQ 3, which is several thousand people for at least 3 months before we actually launched it.
Nice one. And also, Nick, is it going to be any new products coming soon at all for the IQ 3 launching soon at all?
So any new features with the IQ 3?
Yeah, any new products or anything like that coming soon at all?
Look, we've obviously launched the IQ 3. One of the big things we focused on here was making sure we had a platform, to your point earlier, where the technology changes quite quickly.
Yep.
Have a platform that you can upgrade the software very easily over the air. And so we've really designed this as a whole new platform to easily upgrade in the future. Now, what we haven't done is we have a lot of ideas on things we want to add.
Okay.
But we really want to make sure we listen to customers and see what are the most useful / most biggest areas of interest to customers before we start committing to exactly what we're going to do next.
Right. I did hear in talk that maybe some free-to-air apps may be coming to the app section on the IQ 3. Is that correct or not?
Look, we haven't committed to anything there,
okay.
but we certainly from a customer experience point of view, it makes a lot of sense to integrate the free-to-air catch-up.
Oh, definitely. I agree. Adding the ABC iView app and that sort of thing, that would be fantastic to add in there.
Yeah, exactly. And look, certainly it's something we'll look at. There's obviously a bit to work through in terms of how we would do that. But certainly technically, that's exactly why we've designed the platform the way we have to be able to support adding applications like that relatively easily.
Okay.
I guess it kind of makes your platform then instead of just a product, but ultimately from a technology perspective, it's probably not that challenging. It's more around licensing and all of those sorts of things and, you know, lots of coffee and boardroom meetings to get all of that sort of resolved.
Sure, and certainly from, like you say, from a platform point of view, the IQ 3 isn't just a new set-top box hardware. We built a whole new back-end engine for it. It runs an HTML5 interface, which makes it very easy to port new applications onto, and is very IP-centric, both from a progressive download of video to an ABR video stream. We've really focused on being able to make this a much more IP-centric experience than the previous purely broadcast experience that the old boxes were.
You touched before, Nick, on having the box out there for quite a period of time with test customers and staff as well before it hit the public market. How do you get that contained? I mean, how do you not have photos and you know interface end up through Reddit and things like that on the internet? That must be quite a challenge. Do people sign documents or things, or is there sort of a trust mechanism that goes with that?
We have pretty good trust mechanism with our employees. I think our employees are all really excited about the new products and they love seeing when they launch, seeing the great response that we can get from customers in the media when they see what a surprise the new product is. So really it's built around trust.
Okay. Yeah, and that's obviously really important. I mean, with the new box, has Foxtel designed this from ground up, or is it sort of a licensed box that you guys have then taken the next step and really built your own platform into, your own sort of technology distribution into?
It's a good question. Most people would know the IQ HD, the IQ 2 box, is, and the user interface on that is basically an Australian modified version of the B-Sky B a solution in the UK. That's not the approach we took with the IQ 3. The IQ 3, you know, whenever you're designing any user interface, you take a whole lot of inputs, learnings from your customers, what your competitors are doing, where you think technology and experience is headed. But this has really been designed here in Australia. It's really been a brand new design focus led by Foxtel here.
All right, sounds good, Nick. So, Nick, I really love the interface, mate. I love the design of it. It looks really nice, really clean, and I love the trending part of it. How does the trending part work? How does that work? Can you explain to how that works?
Sure. So under Home, there are several different recommendations menus. Trending is really, really popular. What trending will do is we actually are checking what via IP connection to our different services, be that Foxtel Play, Foxtel Go, or our IQ3s, what people are watching. So this will actually provide in real time the most popular shows that people are watching on the platform.
Sounds good.
It updates roughly every 5 minutes, so it gives you a really good, I guess, a litmus test of what everyone else is watching and what the water cooler conversation will be tomorrow.
Definitely, it sounds good. Now, Nick, tell us about Startover, mate. How does Startover work?
Startover, probably the best new feature we've got, I think.
Yeah, definitely, I agree.
And basically with Startover, the frustration customers have is they'll tune across to a show halfway through it and have missed the start. With Startover, you'll be able to press play.
Yep.
And it will start streaming over the internet using AVR technology from the start of that show. So effectively, you never have to miss a show again if you come in partway through.
Good stuff. And
especially when you combine that with the look back feature of if you've missed it altogether, you can actually then go back in time and download stuff that have been on in the last 24 hours. It really provides that, you know, I can watch whatever I want, whenever I want kind of feel about it.
Good stuff. Now, that's also unmetered too for people that's using Foxtel Broadband too, isn't it? That's unmetered content?
Correct. Correct, it is. Yep. It's all unmetered on Foxtel Broadband.
Good stuff. So what's coming up for the IQ3? Nick, can you give us a sort of any a roadmap on what's going to happen in the future at all or not?
I think at this stage, I think the focus really is about, it is a very different experience to the IQ2.
It is indeed.
I think we really want to listen to what customers like and don't like, what sort of things that we think are going to complement the experience best. I think it's also important to note that we do have a lot of ideas, but we didn't necessarily want to launch with too much at the same time. It can be a very overwhelming experience when you have such a new user experience. So we wanted to make sure we hold a few things back for later. At this stage, I'm going to continue to hold those back until we're at a point where we're ready to let people know.
So you couldn't give us one sort of hint on what would be coming?
No, not at this stage.
All right, mate.
Oh, you tried, Brad. I'll give
I tried.
You that.
All right.
Hey, Nick, you said you're listening to customers. I mean, have you had any feedback at the moment, positive or constructive, from those fortunate to already be using the IQ3? And, you know, how are the early adopters finding the product?
Yeah, it's a good question. We have a lot of feedback mechanisms. Obviously, this is also the first set-top box we've launched since social media has been big. We've had a lot of positive feedback from customers, a lot of very positive feedback from also media when they first walked them through it. There's always a learning curve with the usability of a new user interface because it's so graphically driven and not text and number driven. It is very different for customers, and also with any new product, there's always a few teething issues, which we've now fortunately worked through, and we're in a very, very good position right now. So at the
that's
moment,
going to be there with teething issues with new products, particularly things that are quite advanced like this, where you're really taking a big leap forward.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point. And I think fortunately the teething issues have been largely related to process and head-end configurations and not actual, you know, real major problems with the box itself, which has been really good from a getting things fixed quite quickly. So that's been quite good. I think from a usability point of view, there have been a few minor pieces of feedback, but at this stage, it's only been available for 2 weeks, so we're still waiting to see which will be the things that we think are really most important from a customer point of view.
From a usability, I mean, it's probably easy for guys like Brad and I to pick up technology like this and run with it, but you know, the reality is Foxtel would have a broad demographic of users. So how do you think my dad or my grandpa or whatever would find using the new, very graphical interface versus the old one? That's got to be a big step for them. And have you done testing on sort of people a bit older with that new UI, or is it just something that they've got to try and catch up with, like mobile phones, I guess?
No, it's a really good question and a really good point. Foxtel has a very diverse customer base. I guess the last part first, yes, we've done a lot of usability testing. We did it with all demographics. And obviously, you know, while this may seem obvious, we also do it with quite young people as well. Even in a lot of our staff's homes, they've commented on how their kids have been able to learn the user interface quite easily. I guess there's two parts to it. It's learning to find your way around a new user interface is often quite new. But then actually the root of the whole problem with Foxtel is actually helping people discover content. And so if you ignore the fact that there's a new user interface that's different, that new user interface itself actually provides much, much easier mechanisms to discover new content and rediscover your favorite content on through the introduction of things like the suggested recommendations, which will recommend stuff based on what you tend to watch. It'll really help you basically if you have no idea what you want to watch, it'll give you some suggestions on what to watch. Or you can, the new search menu, which makes it really, really easy to discover shows that you specifically are looking for. And then, of course, there's the whole anytime and store menus where you can really just browse through based on genres or movies or TV shows to really, like you're browsing through almost a video store, just trying to discover what it is you want to watch. So in terms of the discovery process, it's certainly, that's significantly easier on the new iQ3. In terms of the user interface itself, yes, it is different. And we do know that some people will struggle with it. But for the most part, it's been exceptional feedback.
All right, Nick, I've got a question from someone. Her name's Belinda. She's actually a Foxtel fan as well. She's also got an IQ3 as well, and she also loves it as well. I'm not sure if you can answer or not, but I'll ask anyway. When will there be another system update coming soon? Will there be another update coming soon at all? When's do you have an ETA?
We're not communicating an ETA yet. We do have regular updates planned.
Okay.
And I think it's fair to say that roughly we're going to target, and there's always a balance here between more frequent updates with less in them or less frequent updates with more improvements in them. And it's more about efficiency and not changing the customer experience detrimentally. So really I'd say our goal is sort of every couple of months to have incremental improvements to the customer experience that will help them overall. So I think that's probably the best way to position it.
Good stuff. So, how often do you do the updates? Every 2 weeks, or is that every?
I think it's more like every couple of months.
Okay.
To the field.
Okay.
That said, obviously back here we do a lot more on our own in terms of progressing specific fixes and improvements. To customers themselves, it'll be more like every couple of months. And when we do it, we'll have clear notification for customers, both mostly through our online forums, to enable them to see what's changed, what's improved, and the likes. And we'll certainly give them advance notice beforehand where possible.
So will they get like a notice on their box saying there's an update out or whatever?
Probably not at this stage. At this stage, we'd rather, where there's only small, when it's more minor tweaks and changes, what we'll tend to do is just make the update. And if anyone wants to have a look at what's changed, much like other applications, there'll be a sort of a customer-friendly release notes that'll sort of help them understand what's changed, what's improved, and the likes.
All right. Now, the box has already been out for 2 weeks, so I'm going to ask this another question to you. Have you got any ideas on the IQ4 at all?
I think, as we said at the start of the discussion, you're already starting out the next one when you release the first one.
Yeah, yeah.
Fortunately, I think we'll make some minor hardware modifications with time.
Yep. All right. Are you still there, Nick? I think Nick dropped out, I think. You still there, Nick?
He's dropped out for a sec there.
Okay.
So that's interesting. But as Nick sort of said, Brad, it's funny how quick they get their next product into the cycle, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
You know, the IQ3 is out. Everyone's talking about it. They're doing all of their PR, their marketing around the IQ3, and there's probably someone down at Foxtel
already working
on
a
piece of paper in front of them with the IQ4 written on it.
Yep, definitely, mate, definitely. No, I'm really loving the IQ3 at the moment, Andrew, and I highly recommend it to anyone that's got the IQ HD box at the moment, and it's really worth the upgrade, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. From what I've seen of it, I don't have it in my place as yet, but from what I've seen of it, you know, from you, Brad, and a few other people, it really does look like a fantastic product. And I think we've got Nick back at the moment.
Sorry about that.
That's
all right, Nick. I just want to ask you that the process for existing Foxtel users, I mean, how do they upgrade to the IQ3? What's the rollout plan? Not just for, you know, the people like myself or early adopters, but people like my dad who probably wouldn't be calling you up to say, I want the latest tech. You know, when will they get it in their hands?
At this stage, it's really up to the customer themselves. We recognize a lot of people are going to be very happy with their existing IQ HD experience or other set-top box experience. A massive desire to force them to migrate to a new box. If any customer does want to migrate at this stage, they can go online and do that through my account or call us up and we'll support an upgrade process. But at this stage, we have no intention to, I guess, force.
And Nick's dropped out again, Andrew.
Yeah, okay. So obviously having a few little technical issues, I think, with Nick there. But as he said, Brad, at the moment, particularly with such an early product, if people do want to upgrade to the IQ3, I think it comes with a small price tag at the moment too.
It does, indeed.
Give them a call and they'll shoot one out to you in the mail, no doubt with some instructions. And I think it's quite a big box that actually comes through in the mail, is it, Brad?
It does indeed, mate. Big box, very easy to set up, probably 10 minutes. Smart card's already in the box and you ring them up and away you go.
No, that's really good. And no, it sounds fantastic. Nick, just a question for you. I think he's jumped out again there. I was just going to ask about I guess the new streaming products in the market. What are your thoughts, Brad, around that, around the new streaming products like
Netflix and Stan and them sort of things?
Netflix, and I think Foxtel's got one in there as well. I mean, it's an exciting time to be a product consumer with all of these great things. And obviously with Foxtel's really aggressive pricing, which I think is fantastic. Sorry, Nick, I don't know if you heard all of that, but what are your thoughts on the new streaming war that's happening at the moment?
Sorry, could you just repeat that one again?
I was just saying it's a really exciting time to be, you know, an entertainment consumer with Foxtel's fantastic aggressive pricing at market and the new streaming products, of which Foxtel has one as well. I mean, what are your thoughts on the streaming war? The streaming, video streaming products that are at market now. Obviously, Foxtel has a massive stranglehold on sport, and I think you guys also have a streaming product at market as well now.
Yeah, that's correct. We've got Presto and have had Presto in market for a little while now. It's an interesting area because while everyone loves talking about it, the actual use of some of these streaming products can be quite low, and it's really not the same as sitting down and watching 40 hours of TV a week in front of your reliable Foxtel service with that really high quality HD. It's not necessarily a direct competition. It's more of a different area of the experience where you're looking at specific VOD titles and probably are more happy to watch it on different devices. But it is a great time to be a consumer of video content because it's certainly helping make more and more content available to people in more and more different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, I think the Foxtel really has quite a premium product as far as, you've got that HD, you've got a nice set-top box there. The IQ3 that we've been talking about is a fantastic piece of technology, but then you've got some of these, streaming products at market who are also building a fantastic product line there where you can watch things, in bed and whatnot, which you can also do, obviously, through your Foxtel Play account. So it is a really great time to be a consumer. We've got so much access to information, and that must be really exciting for you guys, but probably also quite challenging from a product roadmap perspective.
It's great. It is very exciting from a technology and product point of view because it, there's never been a better time to say, hey, I really got this great idea. I want to do this because chances are You need to do that because that's what the marketplace is demanding. But at the same time, it is quite interesting from a consumption and a consumer point of view, as you say, to be able to use your Foxtel Go on your iPad and see everything you want there, or have high quality video in your lounge room, or you know, use something like Presto or a subscription video on demand service. There's just so many different ways to access the content.
Yeah, definitely. I'm loving the Foxtel Go at the moment. I watch it in bed on my iPad every night, and them sort of shows, like Gogglebox and them sort of shows, really loving them. It really comes in handy.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
It is very, very comes in handy, yeah. So, Nick, how long have you been working at Foxtel, and how did you get started at Foxtel?
Oh, that goes back a while.
Okay.
I joined Austar. I don't know if you know Austar, but it's the original version.
Yep.
About 9 years ago, actually. And through that, have worked closely with Foxtel the whole time, but then came across officially as part of the Foxtel-Austar merger a couple of years ago now. So, yeah, only been at Foxtel for a couple of years, but I guess been working intimately with all the Foxtel products for 9 years now.
Nice one. Nick, what have you been watching on Foxtel? Any favourite show you can recommend for people that listen to the podcast?
It's funny you say that. Gogglebox has been right at the top of the
list
in the house lately.
Yeah.
Rather oddly, given, you know, when someone described it to me here at work, I said, who would want to watch other
people
watch?
It's such a guilty pleasure, isn't it?
It is very enjoyable.
It is indeed. What about you, Andrew? Have you been watching many shows on Foxtel, mate? Can you recommend any shows for people to check out?
Yeah, look, I love the sport, really. At the end of the day, they've got the best sport offering, bar none. I'm a big Formula One fan, so I think it's fantastic. You know, I don't want to put down the competition, but from my opinion, you know, Channel 10 haven't been doing a great job with the F1, so I'm over the moon to see Foxtel actually take that on, play the practice and the qualifying, and, you know, give us a direct feed to the you know, Sky feed over in the UK, you know, where they've got the real F1 experts, and they just beam it straight across. There's no need to get involved, and you know, I think that's fantastic. And obviously what they're doing with the, you know, the supercars, I'm a motorsport fan, so I'm really enjoying that, and obviously the footy and the A-League. So no, it's great. They've got the best sport offering bar none, and it's really enjoyable not having, you know, advertising sort of going in the middle of it. So that's really great.
Definitely, definitely. Any other shows, Nick, you can recommend to watch, mate? You like watching?
It's funny you mentioned the sport, because especially the quality, the high-definition sport that we have is just, you know, amazing.
Yeah,
I think it's really hard to go back after watching that.
Definitely.
Especially now the AFL season started. I'm a big AFL fan. So.
Definitely.
What team, Nick? What team?
Unfortunately, it's hard to say at the moment. I'm a Geelong Cats fan, and it was a pretty painful Easter Monday for me.
So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was. They were never in it, were they, unfortunately?
Yeah. No, but I can't really complain. It's been a pretty good few years, so
yeah, it has.
Definitely. Can't complain too much.
I also think the HD quality picture from free-to-air through Foxtel, you get a better quality picture on Foxtel.
Yeah, we certainly pride ourselves on the quality, even if it means pumping some more bandwidth at the channels, and so we're more than happy to do that. And you can really, like you say, as you can notice a difference.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Is there any just another question? Any new HD channels coming soon at all, Nick? You can mention or not?
None that I can mention at this stage. No.
Okay. I hope it's True TV.
Sorry?
I hope it's True TV.
Nick, you've been a fantastic sport, mate. We
really appreciate you
answering all those questions there we've been throwing at you, and I know that our listeners will appreciate that as well. Just finishing up, is there any way that if anyone has any questions, a Twitter account or a support account or something, what's the best way to get a hold of you know, the Foxtel guys there if anyone has any queries that they want to go through? And if people don't have Foxtel at the moment, what's the best way for them to actually get onto you guys to get signed up?
Yeah, at this stage, if you want any online support, the Foxtel community is the best spot to go. There's a really good website there that has excellent support from, not just really good internal support from Foxtel. Foxtel users are able to provide that. And certainly from any questions or queries, that's a great spot. And for people who want to sign up, I would definitely go to the Foxtel website, foxtel.com.au, and you'll be able to there choose to try to sign up and get Foxtel, including the IQ3.
Yep, definitely. And how much is the IQ3 at the moment? Nick, can you mention the price at all, mate? Or?
It's $150, okay. Or it's $200 if you want a professional install to come out and do the install for you.
Okay, yeah, it's pretty easy to install the IQ3. So it's just unplug a couple of cables and plug them in, and that's the way you go, really, and HDMI cable, that's about it, really.
Yeah, exactly. The self-install's been really, really efficient for us.
So yeah, definitely, definitely. Can you give us a quick mention about the Foxtel broadband, just real quick, just a quick mention about that?
Sure. Obviously, we've launched Foxtel Broadband a couple of months ago now.
Yep.
The Foxtel Broadband service is an ADSL broadband service. It's actually the Foxtel hub itself is really quite advanced.
Yes, it
is. For those interested, it runs the 802.11ac Wi-Fi, which is the same Wi-Fi that the IQ3 supports. The big thing there is it really helps us support the 5 gigahertz frequency. And the reason we really wanted to focus on that was around the fact that for constant video streaming, it's one thing to have good Wi-Fi if you just want to surf the internet. It's another thing altogether if you want to have constant high quality video streaming over the internet for 2 hours of a movie or something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
So we spent a lot of time focused on that, so that the Foxtel hub itself it works really, really well with the IQ3, especially, like I said, using that 5 gigahertz frequency that the 802.11ac supports.
All right, Nick, thanks for your time for being on. Appreciate your time, mate.
No problems. Thanks very much for having me.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks again, Nick. Appreciate it. See you, buddy.
Thanks, Andrew. Bye.